Welcome to the LarryNFishers.com podcast. I'm Larry Lannon. The third annual City of Service Awards ceremony is set for Tuesday, February 26th, 6 p.m. at the Forum Conference Center in Fishers. The dinner event is free to any Fishers volunteer. You simply need to register. I spoke with Dan Domzik from the Fishers Park and Recreation Department and John DeLucia, Master of Ceremonies for the awards this year, during the afternoon of Tuesday, February 5th. I'm at Fishers City Hall, and I'm with Dan Domzik from the Park and Recreation Department, and I'm with John DeLucia from Citizens State Bank, a former two-term member of the Hamilton Southeastern School Board, and we're here to talk about the City of Service Awards. So, gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having us, Larry.
It's always fun. And John?
Yeah, great to be here.
You
thank
as well.
You, Larry.
And I want to talk about the City of Service Awards. I was very honored to be a part of that the first 2 years. I believe this is the third year. Is that correct?
That's right.
And I was trying to remember who the Volunteer of the Year was. I think the first year it was Warren Hartling, right?
Well, so the award that Warren got the first year was actually the Key to the City.
Oh, he got a Key to the City. That's right.
Yeah, Warren got a Key to the City. He has been on Plan Commission.
As far back as I can remember.
Yeah, and that is a very specific and dedicated kind of volunteerism, that kind of board work, where you're kind of helping make some serious decisions for your community. And Mayor Fadness felt strongly about recognizing him for that kind of service, and it was very much deserved.
Yeah, I do remember Warren, because he runs a great meeting. I've covered meetings, and you've covered meetings, Dan, as a journalist in the past. And John, you've been a participant in many meetings. I've seen meetings drag on, and Warren runs a good – and there are other people in town, but he runs one of the best well-done meetings. And when you have like 30, 40 people who are there to maybe protest something, a plan commission – what he'll say is, all right, I just heard that argument. How many people agree with this person? I'll raise their hands. Goes, anybody have any arguments other than what I just heard? Most of the time, they don't. So, okay, we know how many people feel that way. It's all on record. But 30 people didn't come up and say the same thing over and over again. And you understand how that works.
I do, Larry.
Warren was the first. He did get the Key to the City that first year.
You know, each year we recognize a handful of volunteers that have given back their time in a lot of different ways. So, for instance, again this year, Parks and Recreation will recognize our Adult Volunteer of the Year and our Youth Volunteer of the Year. We have a couple other city departments that do that as well. And we also want to make sure that we take a little bit of time to reach out into the community and recognize people that have really given back to nonprofits. We have a really strong relationship with the Hamilton Southeastern School District, and we really like to make sure that we recognize a Volunteer of the Year from the Hamilton Southeastern Schools Foundation. And we always like to take a moment to recognize the previous year's District Teacher of the Year. We all know that the best teachers are the ones that are always going to be the ones that are going past the last bell of the day. They're giving their own time. Sometimes they're giving their own resources. And these teachers just go above and beyond for our kids here in Fishers. And they're what make Fishers the smart, vibrant, entrepreneurial place it is. So we like to make sure that we share the spotlight with them and show a spotlight on the important work that they do.
Now, John, I was honored. One of the favorite podcasts I do every year is with the Teacher of the Year. And the last 2 years has been Julie Alano, who's also a track coach. They won the state championship, by the way.
Yeah.
But she's best known as a teacher in computer science and that sort of thing. Sorry, John, I had a cold last week. I know how you feel. I remember that. And then John Hochstetler will be the one who will be honored this year as the Teacher of the Year this year. And he's a resource person. He what we used to call librarians. And we had two of my favorite podcasts is Teachers of the Year. But that's a very special honor. You served on the school board about 8 years, so you know that.
Yes. Oh, it is a tremendous honor from a really talented pool of people. I mean, it's unbelievable. And we've had several, go on, at the state level and be recognized. And it's wonderful.
Yeah, and I believe police and fire, they also have volunteers that they recognize.
Yeah, I know right now that the police volunteer of the year has been selected. And it's just really cool to hear some of these stories about how people are giving back. Everyone volunteers for a different reason or find volunteer work that they enjoy. And there's a gentleman that's been helping out with some operations over at FPD that we're going to get to shine a light on. And it's just really cool to kind of hear these stories, because one of the things that I think is really a common undercurrent in Fishers is that just how busy people are. And yet there are people that are willing to take a step back and say, I'm going to give my time to some other organization or to somebody else because I think it's the right thing to do and I enjoy it. So we kind of get to hear some cool stories and learn about some people that are quietly doing some awesome work that don't otherwise really kind of get the spotlight that I think they should.
And I think it spotlights the work that the various volunteers do and how important it is. And John, I know you have been a volunteer in this community for many years. You've seen other people volunteer. Just talk a little about the importance of volunteerism in Fishers.
You know, and a great question, Larry. And I think when I think back over the years, and it's probably the single biggest differentiator in the Fishers community. When I really think about it, I mean, the city does a wonderful job. The town did before that. Even the notion that a role like Dan's exists, you know, coordinating volunteers, I'm not sure how common that is. But, you know, we can provide so much more, you know, without the city having to pay for everything or the schools having to pay for everything. They certainly do their fair share. But you look at youth sports and all those different boards and things with the kids and things with the parks department. I think it may be the single biggest differentiator in our communities from a quality of life standpoint. What all we can do, you know, Tuesday night concerts, you see pretty high profile people in the community picking up the trash and directing traffic, you know, through the Rotary Club. And that just really, I think, sets a great example that's, it's been there for as long as I've been here, and it just seems to continue to grow.
Yeah, I think there's a certain well-known developer who's out there all the time directing traffic. Yeah. And, you know, you wouldn't – and that shows he cares about where he lives. You know, Dan, I worked for the federal government for 28 years, and I remember at one point in my career I actually had a class in how to manage volunteers. And I don't want that to have a negative connotation, because when you are a volunteer, you want to make sure whatever you do is going to be meaningful, and you need somebody to coordinate them so they can actually concentrate on what needs to be done. Talk about this whole issue of people who volunteer and how you kind of harness them and get them in the right place and make sure they're where they need to be.
Sure. So it can be a pretty involved process. It's something that we've really gotten a lot better at over the past year. Just a volunteer, when you really, I should say, let me back up a second. Every organization that uses volunteers should look at the volunteer like any other event participant, any other customer. You have to make sure that they're having a positive experience and that they're comfortable. So that means taking the time to make the personal touches, to tell them about what they're doing, to make sure that it's clear what their volunteer role is going to be, that you say thank you afterwards, that you just make sure that you have everything buttoned up, because there's nothing worse for a volunteer than maybe showing up somewhere and they don't really know what they're going to do, showing up somewhere and they end up standing around because there's too many people helping out and you've got the too many cooks in the kitchen kind of thing going on, and now they feel like their time that they're trying to donate and they're trying to give away is being squandered. You have to make sure that those things don't happen. And when you can build that kind of experience, it's just kind of this cycle that just keeps on building on itself. You hopefully get people to come back and be repeat volunteers. That's one of the great things about this event that's coming up, is that we're getting to recognize two volunteers out of the Parks Department that have become people that are just go-to excellent volunteers. And to keep on to keep them, we have to make sure that they feel valued and that we stay consistent, and we treat them like the valuable team member that they are.
I do remember a volunteer activity I did just a few months ago, the Spark Fishers Festival. I got to sit and watch Dan Domzik do his coordination work, and that was an incredibly hot day, and you still had most of your volunteers who did show up and did their duty.
Yeah, so Spark Fishers in itself was a humbling community experience for the Parks Department, I think for the city staff, and for myself, just to kind of watch how things kind of unfolded. I think we had about 120 unique volunteers that put time towards making that event happen. And they covered something like around 180 shifts. So that also tells you in the heat that you could have fried eggs on the sidewalk during, they were saying, not only have I signed up for a shift, I'm going to stay here even longer.
Okay.
So we're talking about volunteers that have basically put in a work day to make this new community tradition happen. And that's just incredibly, I'm tripping over my words here. It's a spectacle to see that many people care about coming together as a community and doing something special.
Yeah, we were worried about the parade, but things did cool down a bit, and we had a good crowd for the parade. And my involvement with the parade was that little area around City Hall. They tried to set up a public address area so we could, you know, do that. And there were a couple of Fishers High School students who done some live sports, and they helped me. And what I remember most about covering parades, John, is that when you cover a parade, and I used to actually do them on the radio. They just pick the sound up and you describe things going by. No parade ever goes in the order it's supposed to go. So basically, I had one of those high school students looking out down the way to see what's coming up. So we could, and I have to give the city great credit. I think the PR staff did this, maybe Park and Rec. They had scripts for us for certain parts and units of the parade. But the problem was trying to make sure we had the script to actually fit the unit that was coming down. And even your best effort, you're never going to get that perfectly right. But you were you around on Spark Fishers Day?
I was not this year, and I hated that. We the bank actually volunteered to use our conference room for like a respite place for mothers with young children and things like that. But Amy and I had a vacation scheduled, so I hated to miss it.
But you were still, your bank was involved, and hopefully this year you'll get a chance to
I'll be there.
Be a part of that fest, because it was, I think the parade was done very well. It was a lot of fun, and if you consider the extreme heat, I think that's still... The crowd was better than I expected.
Yeah, I think some of the people that were the most popular in the parade were the people that were running out and handing out Gatorades and bottled water. Like, you want to instantaneously make friends, that's how you do it. But what John was talking about, hosting a respite area at Citizens State Bank, is another good thing to kind of bring up with City of Service kind of on the horizon here. And that's volunteerism comes in all kinds of different ways, whether that's, giving that space like John was talking about. It could be volunteering on a board. It could be all kinds of different stuff that is just kind of out of the goodness of your own heart and wanting to be involved. So I really hope that people in the community really take advantage of this opportunity to kind of come together and break bread, no matter what they've been doing. This isn't just something about the people that are helping out, you know, within the confines of City Hall or at the Parks Department. I'm talking about making sure that we take a minute, just a minute here in the grand scheme of things, to recognize just how many people and how many resources this community puts forward just for the good of the cause. And that's having a place that is somewhere where everyone wants to live and wants to grow.
And you do it in the confines of a dinner. That's always a nice setting to honor people. And, John, you'll be the master of ceremonies this year. I have to tell you, when I went to the Spark Fishers Festival, just to make this a quick story, not only was it a hot day and difficult, we spent quite a bit of time trying to get the three of us who were working on the public address, trying to get that all straightened out. The night before, one of my daughters got married. And it was when and the party went late into the night, and I still made it there. But I did ask. I think I asked for a parking space. I almost never asked for that, but I said I think this is one day. But talk about how you approach the whole event now for City of Service Awards coming up. We'll tell you more details in a moment, but just talk about how you approach the ceremony.
Oh, yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to it. I was able to attend the first one, so I've got a taste of the flow of it, and it's just really, it's an honor to be a part of it, and really humbling. And really looking forward to seeing the recipients and just seeing all the people. Really, I think one of the best parts of this, and it kind of reminds me of even the mental health initiative, which sounds like a leap, is just the way the city, you know, all are welcome, you know, and so there's not a bunch of qualifiers. They're having this dinner. They want to celebrate volunteers and come on and be celebrated.
You know, I think there's so many volunteer setters, and we've talked about some of them, but there are two places we don't talk about much. I don't think most people understand, even though Conner Prairie has a paid staff, they have a large cadre of volunteers. And when I think of volunteers, the very first organization I think about, HSE Sports. All the coaches, the other people who do the grounds. I mean, there's just a gigantic group of people who volunteer their time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's what? More than 10,000 kids in HSE Sports?
That's right.
Unbelievable. And Conner Prairie, it's funny you mentioned Conner Prairie, the Parks and Rec Adult Volunteer of the Year in our first 2 years, he repeated. It's Bernie Thomason. And he's just one of those salt of the earth, just works his butt off kind of guys. And that's one of the other things he does. He volunteers at Conner Prairie. So here we are, this community of incredibly busy people, and people that want to give back, and they're not just picking one cause in some cases. They're going and working at Conner Prairie while they've got concerts going or Headless Horsemen. And, you know, then maybe they're going and helping with the alumni group from the city's Citizen Police Academy. And then maybe another weekend they might be out helping at a parks thing. It's just amazing the amount of stuff that people get behind.
Oh, yes, and I think that's true. Now, this just to let you know, and John, I'll ask you to talk about this. It's coming up February 26th at the Forum Conference Center, Forum Credit Union, and it's a big place, but you do need to let the city know if you wish to attend, and there is a dinner involved. Talk about that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's a very generous offer by the city, absolutely, and I think, you know, what Dan's working on, and thank you for having this podcast, is really just getting the word out that if you're volunteering in the community, you're invited. You know, don't wait for a very specific, like a wedding invitation I'm sure you had to send out. But you do need to RSVP. That's critical, and they need to have an accurate count just so they can prepare for the dinner and have the room set up and things. And, you know, you mentioned sports. I think it would be a staggering number. How many volunteers, you know, from coaches to people doing the fields to commissioners to the board members. They all certainly are welcome. And there's a lot of other things. I got a little behind the scenes look at the Fishers Youth Assistance summer meal volunteer thing. My wife actually worked on the volunteer spot website for that. And it was, you know, hundreds of volunteers through that. So there's a wide range of things, certainly Conner Prairie sports. You know, YMI, people mentoring, just a lot of volunteers. So the key is for the word to be spread and people to RSVP and plan to come.
And YMI is still looking for some, particularly male volunteers right now. So we've tried to publicize that. They're trying to get as many of the youngsters who are in need of a mentor matched up. So that's, but I don't know, Dan, I'm trying to think. This we're over 90,000 people, we think, at this point, as far as the city goes. You'd be hard-pressed to find somebody in this community who has not volunteered in some way.
Well, think of it this way. So Parks and Recreation ended up having a little bit over 3,200 recorded volunteer hours last year. When you look at that, and I always hesitate to bring up this data point first because I don't necessarily think it's the most important statistic to use when telling the story, but 3,200 hours, depending on where you go and how you actually put a dollar value on that, is worth roughly $76,000 to $80,000. That was volunteer work and volunteer value that was donated to the Fishers Parks and Recreation Department alone. We're not even dipping our toes into what the awesome volunteers have done at Youth Assistance Program, the amount of hours that people put in it at Youth Mentoring Initiative, let alone how many hours somebody might go and drive a tractor during Headless Horseman at Conner Prairie. It's astounding, and I would be really curious to see what our overall community statistics and entry point is into volunteerism and what that actual value is community-wide. It has to be an astonishing number.
You know, John, last year when I emceed the event, I at the very end, I looked around the room. It was at Conner Prairie last year. And I said, you know, this room that I'm in right now is the center of gravity for volunteering in the city of Fishers. So I challenged everybody, said, tomorrow or the next day, go out and find somebody you know who maybe doesn't volunteer at all or doesn't volunteer much, and just kind of, you know, suggest that person to get involved. And obviously I don't have the statistics on how many people did that, but at least, you know, you put that little thought in the back of their mind. And And I think that volunteerism, and talk about this because I know how much you volunteer in the community, it's an infectious thing, isn't it?
It is. I mean, really, and it's a little cliche, but they're cliches because they're true. I mean, I know sincere volunteers really receive more than they give just through the satisfaction of helping and helping the community. And that's a great point, Larry. As many volunteers as we have, you know, we always need more. And you have to get some help. People can only go so long and just cycle through things. So if everyone could just invite someone else or encourage someone else. People respond to a personal invitation, mm-hmm. just a big broadcast, hey, we need help. You know, like, well, even YMI, for example, they broadcast that, but it really takes someone saying, hey, Dan, could you give an hour a week, you know, during the week? And that personal invitation is absolutely critical.
Yeah, I agree. One-on-one is best recruiting ever invented.
And no, seriously, Dan.
So you've already got something you're hitting,
no.
Dan.
That's for you, Allison Gantz.
Allison's a wonderful yes. lady. She does great work, and so does YAP. I know that got to know your wife a little bit doing some publicity for them last year, and that program just work miracles for people last summer, and I'm sure they're gearing up again for another year. Well, Dan, I'm going to leave it up to you to kind of give the details here. Someone is listening, and someone would like to, they've been volunteering in the community, they'd like to be a part of this dinner. There is no charge, as I understand it.
Yeah, that's right. So, again, it's February 26th. It's from 6 to 9 p.m. At the Forum Conference and Events Center. That first hour, 6 to 7, is for networking, cocktail hour kind of thing, just kind of getting to know people a little bit and having a nice kind of soft start to the evening's programming. We'll kick dinner off at about 7 o'clock. We like to keep the trains moving on time around here, so we'll probably go into our awards program around 7:40, 7:45. We'll wrap up around 8:30, 8:40. Okay. So this is a really cool evening where people can kind of come, break bread, and get to know each other a little bit and celebrate what volunteerism is really about. It is free, but tickets are required. You can get your tickets by visiting playfishers.com/volunteer. There's a big green button in the middle of the page that says RSVP here. Just go ahead and click that, and it'll tell you what to do from there. So that's kind of the high points there.
Now, John, you spent, as I mentioned earlier, about 8 years on the school board. I think there was a transition. It was actually a bit longer than that. But you've had the first several weeks without school board. Any withdrawal pains?
No. No, it was, you know, it was an honor to serve. It was a privilege. I'm really glad I did it. But even like volunteers, you know, just things I'm excited about. you know, some of the new people coming on with some fresh ideas and some different energy that, you know, you can only sustain so long. So
I would almost count school board as volunteer activity. You are paid, but it's not very much.
Right. Yeah. And actually, when I first joined, I thought it was volunteer.
And you were surprised when you got the first paycheck?
Sure.
Is that?
Yeah.
Now, Dan, I know you have many projects you work on, but one of the things you've been working on lately, and I think it's just recently closed, is the Citizens Academy.
Right, right. Well, depending on when the podcast here gets posted, I think we have a couple days left here left on registration, maybe the 7th, I think. But if for some reason here this week you hear this and you're interested in learning a little bit more about how your local government operates, City Government Academy's kicking off here on February 13th. You can email me, domsicd@fishers.in.us, and maybe I can get you set up. But City Government Academy, again, is a free inside look at how your local government operates. I mean, we cover everything from planning and zoning to engineering to, you know, we take a tour over at FPD. We'll get to check out the new headquarters over here on the Municipal Circle and really just cover anything and everything that you can think of. I kind of look at it as how it's made for local government. I mean, I think people are kind of astounded sometimes at the amount of work that goes into different things. One popular night is the wastewater treatment plant, believe it or not. That one, I think it's because people either, you know, turn their faucets off and they pay their water bill every month, but they don't really think about the science and the technical prowess that goes into taking wastewater and putting it back into the White River cleaner than what the White River is, so that we can continue sustaining Indianapolis and central Indiana. So it's a really cool program. We're really passionate about it, and there's still some spots left. So
Okay. We'd
love to have people join us. You can learn a little bit more about it at playfishers.com/CGA.
Okay, so you, at least if people hear this podcast soon after we record, and it should be up pretty quickly, then they still got a little time to sign up for that. I want to ask each of you just one last question. I'll start with John. So, John, tell me what just the basic underlying reason that you have decided to volunteer so many hours in the local community. You've done it. I know you don't like to toot your own horn, but I'll say it for you. So tell me, what's the underlying reason that people want to volunteer? Maybe start with yourself and think about where that comes from others you've known.
You know, I think it's just part of being engaged in the community that you live in. I kind of grew up, you know, that was modeled to me. And I think it really started with me, frankly, with my kids, you know, at their school and then helping coach and then you just become a part of it, and you want to see it grow, and you know to do it, it's going to take everybody contributing to it. And I think, you know, Fishers, I think, fairly unique in just how broad it is and deep it is, and just, you know, just trying to do your part to make the place you live a better place.
Any particular memory or thought about some of the moments you volunteered that really make a difference? Anything come to mind when I ask that question?
No, it's a great question. The thing that did come to mind, and this happens a lot, where you put yourself in a position and you're like, oh, this is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, 99.9% of the people that put themselves in that position, they gut it out, you know, maybe just once.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the sponsor person for the baseball league in like 1994. Don't fact check it, give or take. But
we'll,
not really.
We'll give you a little grace period.
And everything was handwritten, you know, no real fax machines.
Yeah,
I mean,
right. Barely
that. And it was like, ooh, that pretty much put me out of the insurance business. But I felt good about it. I'd have to think about the most rewarding one.
I'll come back to you in a minute. So, Dan, I want to go ahead.
I think the first interaction that I had with John was when I was a reporter at The Current, and John had sent out something about the Pasta Bowl, which is the annual drive for dry goods, pasta, to benefit Second Helpings and a couple other organizations. And it was just really kind of cool to see someone take a minute to inspire some friendly competition where where the prize usually ends up benefiting somebody else. And that's people that could use a little bit of help here in Central Indiana and in Fishers and just in the community. And I think we were at Best Bet, just a little bit north into Noblesville. And I just remember, for whatever reason, the TV was really loud. And I was trying to record and trying to cut through the din of the TV. Best Bet, delicious. I don't know if I recommend it for an interview spot, but it was always it was just really cool to kind of that's how I kind of got to know you, John. So I'm really excited that you're going to MC this, and we can kind of bring that kind of full circle.
Oh, so you're referring to the largest pasta bowl, the pasta drive ever in the history of the world involving students that I'm aware of.
Careful.
That's it, Larry.
Larry's going to...
The qualifiers always go at the end of John's statement, so that's good to hear.
Larry's going to have to check in with his reporting partners at Politico to see if that passes the fact check.
But speaking of that, I it has been so much fun over the years and just kind of a somewhat of a made-up thing, but just I think it's just a testament where if you throw it out there, people will participate, you know, and the students have been a huge help. You know, Ken Carete, for example, you know, he picks it all up and drops it all off in his pro shred trucks. And yeah, if you put it out there, people will.
And it was a masterstroke to make that a competition, because kids that age love to compete with each other, especially in groups. And that did spice it up some. And I think the pasta bowl, you should be very proud of what you've done there. And that'll continue with her. I'm sure you'll have some involvement, but others will take the lead as things move on. So, Dan, I have to tell you this. I worked in government for 28 years and worked as a journalist. One thing I do know, I know very few public employees who work 40 hours a week. So I'm sure that there are times even you volunteer your time, even when you're working with the city. But tell me what you've learned about volunteers, having been working with them for several years now.
I mean, this should be a given, but they are a humble force of people that are doing a lot of work quietly. And they're not always willing to accept the spotlight. And that's just amazing to me that there are people that are willing to give so much of their time, because let's face it, in Fishers, that's one of the most precious resources. And yet they're not looking to get a pat on the back. They're not looking for applause. They just want to go and do it because they think it's the right thing to do, or they enjoy it. And that is something that, as a young person coming out of college and making a career change that was going to deal with volunteers a lot more, is something that I don't think I really thought too much about. Like, to me, going out to dinner with everybody and hanging out sounds like a great time, but it's not the thing that volunteers always think about. And I really hope that volunteers listening to this and volunteers that have put so much time into this community take a moment to go ahead and accept the praise and the pat on the back and the applause, because without them, we just don't get it done.
Yeah, last year Art Hennig got an award from the police department. I'd known Art for years before I even came to Fishers, and he's a real unsung hero. He is, when I go down to the police department, so many times he is there.
He's almost always there. I walk into the police department during the middle of the day. Oh, hey, Art! He's always there.
And it's amazing that the hours he puts in, and he really doesn't want credit. Well, you get the key to the city for Warren Harling in the first year, 2 years ago, and last year the volunteer of the year, I believe, was Mike Rieckhoff.
He was the nonprofit volunteer of the year.
Yeah, he was very well deserved. I mean, what that man's been through and what he's done for youth in this community and other communities needed to be recognized. So I have to give credit to the mayor, the city council, and you and the people at the Parks Department for taking the initiative to do this dinner to honor volunteers. It's going to be it was a great night the first few times I attended, and I'm looking forward to seeing it again this year.
Appreciate that, Larry. It's all about the volunteers, and thank you for your volunteer work, this podcast, and your writing and attention to what's going on in Fishers is fantastic, especially in a time that's tough for media, that's tough for journalists that are out there doing the work. So it's awesome to see that you're continuing to give back, and it's been great getting to know you over the past few years. And
yeah, we first got to know each other as fellow reporters, you and I. So, yeah. And it was, we were covering a lot of the same stories, and people don't understand this. Even though you may be competitors sometimes, there's still a camaraderie amongst journalists, even who are competing with each other, because you're around each other and you have a lot in common. And that's what happened with, I think you and I were the only ones regularly reporting on Fishers at the time. So I'm either doing a great thing or I'm crazy. I'm not sure which it is. I'm in my eighth year of this volunteer, but the fact that there are so many news deserts, and that's why I started the blog first and the podcast later, is because the blog was because I thought there was a void of news, and it wasn't anybody's fault. It was the economics of the news business. It just is what it is, and it's gotten really worse since then. So we've almost became a news desert, and there are people covering Fishers, but not on a regular basis. And I thought it was somebody needs to. I'm always a believer that people need to be at the public meetings just to let everyone else know what's going on, and that's always been it. And the podcast, that's just the reason I started that and continues, because this is really the only platform where people could just talk about what they're doing in a long form. Even the candidates for office, they go to a candidate's night and they can talk for 2 or 3 minutes at a time. I can sit them down here and they can give a lengthy discussion of how they feel about particular issues. So that's my speech. That's why I do what I do. And it's been rewarding. And John, I just, again, thank you for all your service to the community. And any last thoughts or anything come to mind since we've been talking here?
Well, really, and just to echo what Dan said, Larry, thank you for your volunteerism. And really just some feedback as a former public official, it's not that, our public officials are going to do bad things, it's just, but human nature is you behave differently when you are truly in the public. And really without you there at times, and as both of you know from attending, it's really not that public without it. And I think it's a tremendous service. And again, it's just human nature. You just behave differently. And I think it makes you sit up a little straighter and think about what you're doing just that much more, and I think it serves this community very well.
And I appreciate your comments, and I appreciate all the work all the volunteers do in Fishers. It's February 26th at the Forum Conference Center. If you have been involved in any volunteer activity, contact Dan Domzik at the Parks and Recreation Department. All they ask is that you let people know you're coming, and there will be a dinner for you there. Anything to add, gentlemen, before we go?
I'm really looking forward to it and appreciate your time, Larry. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you, John, as well. Thanks for being here, and I'm sure the banking business keeps you busy now that you're off the school
board.
Yes,
it does. Yeah, but I'm delighted to participate in this. And, hopefully, if you're a volunteer, please sign up, or if you know another volunteer, please share it with them, because it's citywide, any organization, you're all welcome.
Thanks again, gentlemen. Thanks to Dan Domzik and John DeLucia for taking the time to talk with me about this year's Fishers City of Service Awards. Once again, the dinner is free for any volunteers in the local community. You just need to register. This is the Larry N. Fishers podcast. My name is Larry Lannon. I write the LarryNFishers.com local news blog from Fishers, Indiana, a suburban community northeast of Indianapolis. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again.